Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Notice that I did not bring a map like Miss Carla, but I have brought my special blanket today just so that I can feel more at home. So good morning. Thanks for joining us today. I'm so glad that you're here. It's such an encouragement to me to see that you have made this Bible study a priority. My name is Gretel Fivek, like Miss Carla mentioned. I am married to Jason, and he's one of the pastors at The Grove. Jason and I have been married for 15 years. Very happy, almost 15 years, and very happy years. We have three kids. Our oldest is Elijah. He's 9 years old. And then we have two girls. Elisa's 8, and then we have Elena. She's 5. I want to say thank you to Carla for the opportunity that she has given me to share with you this morning, and also for her input and help in my lesson. Thank you. Carla has modeled to me and has been such a great example to all of us about what I'm going to teach today. We're going to be learning about discipline, or what it means to be self-control. This is a great New Year's topic, especially as so many of us are still trying to figure out our goals or resolutions for the new year. By the end of today, you should have a clear biblical understanding of what discipline is and how to possess it. Does that sound good? Great. So today, we're answering the question that millions of men and women are dying to know. And that is, how can I be more disciplined? How can I have more self-control? Those are good questions. Before I get started on my topic of discipline, let's review some of the points from past lessons. If you can please open up your Bibles to Titus 2. So I am going to be reading Titus 2, verses 1 through 5. And if you're wondering, I am going to be reading from the ESV translation this morning. All right, ladies. Titus 2, verse 1. Let's look there. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slave to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled. Some of your translations may say discipline. Pure, working at home, kind, and submissive, and to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. My topic on discipline comes from verse 5 in Titus 2. So you're probably wondering why include all these verses if I'm only focusing on one. My answer is because it's God's words, and I don't want to take anything out of context. All right, ladies, if you remember, on the first Bible study, Debbie taught us about sound doctrine from verse 1. And her lesson was about discernment. In her lesson, she defined discernment as the skill of understanding and applying God's word with the purpose of separating truth from error and right from wrong. Kim's lesson was about reverence. Her big idea was our love for God and understanding of who He is. It's what motivates us to a reverent behavior. She taught us that Christ deserves a reverence, even if we want to give it or not. All right, ladies, last week Carla taught us from verse 3 of Titus 2. Her message should be very fresh in our minds. Her big idea was, we only leave a lasting legacy if we teach what is good. She concluded with this in her statement, God and God alone is the legacy I will leave behind. I love that. God and God alone is the legacy I will leave behind. Now, let's begin on my topic for today, discipline. My big idea for today is that as Christian women, we should discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. Again, my big idea is that as Christian women, we should discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. So you're wondering, what is discipline? In the New Testament, we find the word discipline used in two different senses. Sometimes we read of God's disciplining his children. In that sense, the word discipline means it's a strong reprimand or even spanking. However, at other times, the Bible speaks about Christians disciplining themselves. In this sense, the word discipline refers to forming godly habit patterns. For my teaching today, I am focusing on discipline, on the sense of training ourselves for the purpose of godliness. So here's a little more information on discipline. The word discipline is the Greek word gymnasio. We get our English words, gymnasium and gymnastics, from it. It means to exercise or put yourself through training. So you might think of discipline as putting yourself through rigorous spiritual training. Ladies, I have put in your notes all the quotes and all the different verses, scripture verses that I will be using. It's a lot of them, so you're not having to turn there, but just keep your Bibles on Titus 2. Here's a quote. This Christian author named Kent Hughes has written in one of his books that the word discipline is the word with the smell of a gym in it, the sweat of a good workout. It is unashamed call to spiritual sweat. How many of you have joined a gym or started an exercise routine of some kind? I have at some point. This is one of the most popular New Year's resolutions. Most of us know it's kind of fun and exciting to begin working out, but by day 4 or 5, what happens?
Brownies.
Yeah. You're not as excited anymore. It's not fun anymore. You know, pumping those weights, walking the Stairmasters, jogging around the block. You know, it's hard work. Lots of sweat. It's not easy. In fact, to stick with a training regimen will take a lot of effort. Disciplining ourselves in the Christian life is just like that. It won't be easy or convenient, but it will be profitable. Let's look in your notes. It says in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27. Here, discipline and self-control, you'll see that they're very closely related. It says, "Do you not know that those who run in all races all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." Wow. Basically, verse 7, if you see, Paul gives us the meaning of discipline. Did you catch it? I'll repeat it. "I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." To discipline ourselves is to subordinate our fleshly desires to the will of God. It is to control your body so that you make it do what it ought to do rather than what it wants to do. Does that make sense? So to sum it up, discipline is training yourself to do the right thing when you don't feel like it. I'll share a little illustration about myself. I really enjoy working out in my garage at home. Lifting weight is one of those things I like to do. However, a little over a month ago, I started training for a half marathon with my two oldest kids. You're probably wondering, why would you do that? Me too, I'm wondering that. The answer is because I want to encourage them to develop healthy patterns. And I can't ask them to do something I am not willing to do myself. So, I do not enjoy running. I can't wait to be done with this race. I'm just counting the days. But you know what? I choose to discipline my body and myself for the sake of my kids. So, ladies, I've put together a little test for all of us. And how do we know we have discipline or lack it? Do not be intimidated by this, but please answer honestly and do not answer out loud. This is just between you and the Lord. Are we spending time in God's Word every day? Are we doing that? Are we praying through our day? Or just basically when we need something, right, done, you know, Lord, I need this, and you pray. No, we need to be praying every day. If we're not disciplined in setting aside time with the Lord or praying every day, we will lack discipline in many areas of our lives. Here's a few more. Are you late for appointments or for church on Sundays? Don't raise your hand. I know it's especially hard with little kids, you know, to get to church or get to appointments early. But, you know, this is an area we should have discipline in. I, for example, make sure that we have all our clothes ready the night before, and that helps me to just get out the door. Ladies, do you overeat? Especially junk food and high sugar snacks. Well, I try not to, but I'm going on a cruise next week, so that's going to be a problem. But again, we are to have discipline in all things. Do you drink alcohol in excess? I'm sure we know somebody that does, or we have a family member. Somebody's been there. Do you use non-prescription drugs recreationally? Are you careless with your speech? Do you say whatever comes into your head? This is a hard one for all of us. This is a hard one for me too. We are to ponder before we speak. When you're frustrated or upset, do you let it keep you from doing what needs to be done? Do you exercise restraint in your use of social media habits or texting? Social media became an issue for me. It was taking precious time from my life, and it wasn't really producing godliness, right? By much discontentment. A year ago, I canceled Facebook. I'm not saying that this is biblical. I'm just saying that was a struggle. And for me, that's what I needed to do. Do you need to rein in your daydreams and imaginations? Do you spend money you don't have or make unwise spending decisions? Do you leave your bed unmade, leave your clothes lying around, or your desk is messy? I myself lack discipline in many of these areas. When I am frustrated or upset about something, I let it take over my day. For example, a few weeks ago, I had another leak in my roof. This is the third leak in our roof. I called the roofing company that did our roof and also fixed the previous leaks, but they could not repair this new leak. I asked them why, and it says you only have 1 year warranty for your roof. Well, I was so mad, upset that day, all I could think of was that roof. I was short with my kids and even with my husband. What I should have done is bring this matter to the Lord and ask him for wisdom and how to go about it. Instead, it allowed it to keep me from doing what needed to be done. Now, you're probably wondering, yes, I know I fall short. I am lacking discipline in many areas. How can we change that? Before we get into how we can change that, let me first get into why is discipline important. Why is discipline important? There are two main reasons why discipline is important. The first reason is discipline is important because God commands it. 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 through 8 says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. In the Greek, this is an imperative, as mean, do it. Discipline yourself. It's a command. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promises for the present life and also for the life to come. Ladies, God doesn't give us options. Discipline yourself or don't discipline yourself. It's up to you. No, God has given his children a command. Discipline yourself. What is it called when we disobey a command? That's right, sin. You and I need to remember that when we refuse to discipline ourselves, when we indulge ourselves and pamper ourselves instead of disciplining ourselves, we're sinning. Ladies, I am not referring to getting your nails done or going out for ice cream. The second area of discipline and why it is important is because discipline is for the purpose of godliness. Godliness is another word for holiness or Christ-likeness. This text is teaching us that discipline is a path to holiness. And I am referring to 1 Timothy 4. No man or woman can sanctify him or herself apart from the working of God. But God will not sanctify anyone without the active cooperation. So we have to do something. Sanctification comes after salvation. It is the process of spiritual growth. It is a vital part of every believer's life. It is the process of God's transforming work in our life. Now, ladies, do we want to be holy? I think we can all agree that the answer is yes. More than anything, we want to be like Jesus Christ. God has placed that desire within all of us when we're born again. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9, therefore, we have as our ambition to be pleasing to him. As Christian women, we want to be pleasing to the Lord, and a life of holiness pleases him. Therefore, our aim must be to discipline ourselves so that can happen. I have a quote in your notes from John MacArthur. My husband went to seminary, at the Master Seminary. It says there, godly character is not the result of good intentions, wishful thinking, or some mystical sap, or even sheer Bible knowledge. It is developed through the self-discipline application of God's word at a very basic level, enabled and empowered by God's Spirit. That is a powerful quote. Let me share more about myself here. Many of you know this, some of you may not. Jason and I have 3 children, 1 boy, 2 girls. Being fully transparent here, the one that I've been challenged the most as a mother is my son Elijah. Elijah was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when he was only 2 years old. Elijah's almost 10 years old now, almost 8 years with a devastating condition that affects every part of his body. Why am I sharing this with you? I am sharing this with you to illustrate the necessity of discipline we've needed and have many times lacked. God in his grace has strengthened us here through the Holy Spirit. God has granted me the discipline required over the years to care for Elijah's constant and unending needs. Every single night when Elijah goes to bed, it requires me to exercise a great deal of discipline. Because if Jason and I don't, he will fade off and never wake up. That is our reality. This is the way I exercise discipline. It's by making sure that Elijah has all his devices working properly. He has a pump to give him insulin. He also has a device called a continuous glucose monitor. Kathy has one of those. If one or both devices are not working, we have to change them. That means we have to wake up Elijah in the middle of the night. That also means we have to wake up in the middle of the night too. There are many mornings that we are exhausted because Elijah's alarms have gone off and they beep really loud. Either Jason or myself get up to see what's going on. If Elijah's sugars are too high, then it requires us to give him insulin to correct it. Or even sometimes if they're really, really high, we have to give him a shot. If his sugars are low, and this is a scary one, low sugars can cause a diabetic coma that can cause Elijah to never wake up again. He can also go into a diabetic coma if sugars are really, really high as well. For Elijah, the low blood sugars at night are common. Most nights we wake him up to give him a juice, yogurt, a banana. One time he bit my finger, he thought it was a banana. We have to make sure that he eats it all. And we have to wait 15 to 20 minutes to make sure that his sugars start going up. This is our reality every single night. Without sounding overdramatic, Elijah's well-being is dependent on our exercise of discipline. I hope this doesn't sound like I'm complaining. I'm just telling you how it is. This probably explains my dark circles and Jason's shaved head. Ladies, I am not teaching discipline as one who has mastered it. I am simply sharing with you an area of my life where I exercise discipline daily. Let me speak to the woman here right now who, upon hearing all this, is feeling overwhelmed. Maybe discipline has been an area of frustration for you. Perhaps hearing the subject makes you hurt inside. As I was preparing for my teaching, it required me to exercise discipline because my tendency is to choose ease or to compare myself to others, other ladies, and make excuses like, I'm not gifted with the gift of public speaking. English is my second language. I'm not able to teach a passage because I do not have the proper training. Other ladies are so much better than me. We can all agree that discipline is an area we all need to work hard. And we all have areas of our lives that we ought to exercise more discipline in. All right, so let me share some truth with you. Are you ready? Here we go. This is really good for all of us. The only obstacle that is keeping us from a disciplined life is ourselves. It's true. God has given us everything we need to succeed. The only obstacle in the way is ourselves. As long as you and I can keep our goal in view, which is godliness, discipline does not need to be a negative. Rather, it's a very positive path that leads us to where we always want it to be. So let's lean into this together. You know what it's like? Discipline is hard. There's so many times that I fail to exercise disciplines when my kids, because I was just too tired to do so. When I am tired, I'm more prone to being quick with my words, frustrated, and plain simple. I have many times yelled at the kids to stop doing something or simply to stop talking to me because I'm tired. Ladies, sometimes I even counsel myself. Obviously, wrong counsel. I make excuses for myself as to why it was okay to be sinful to the kids because they just take and take and I need my me time. I deserve to have time for myself. I'm entitled to have some peace and quiet. I know that the Spirit has been showing me areas of where I need more discipline, and this area is one of those areas. A professor of Jason from Southern Seminary, Donald Whitney, in his book of spiritual disciplines, wrote, I've never known a man or a woman who came to spiritual maturity except through discipline. Bottom line, discipline, it's an order. We have to achieve it, and it requires us to exercise spiritual maturity. God uses people to make us holy. He uses our kids. Right? God uses people. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That's Proverbs 27:17. Sometimes God will use our friends to exhort us, inspire us, motivate us to Christ-like living. Sometimes he will use our enemies to reveal sin in our life that we must confess or forsake. God also uses circumstances. As God takes us through trials, tribulations, sufferings, illnesses, financial pressures, in order to develop character in our lives. Most importantly, God uses spiritual disciplines, the Word of God. The spiritual disciplines are really the only ones that we have much control over. We usually don't have much control about our circumstances and the people in our lives. True? But we can control whether we'll engage in a disciplined life or not. We can choose to spend time in God's Word and apply His words to our lives. Let's move on. All right, so we've covered what is discipline. We've covered why is discipline important. Now let's look in what areas should we develop discipline. In what areas should we develop discipline? It's really unbelievable how much the Proverbs say about this. You won't believe it. It says a lot about this area. For example, discipline and work. It is surprising how much the Proverbs have to say about laziness and the slugger. You'll see that all the verses are in your notes. Proverbs 10, 4 through 5 says, "A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame." Proverbs 10, 26, "Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy one to those who send him." We must discipline ourselves to work diligent, or we will have no one to blame but ourselves for the lack we experience in our lives. And we'll end up hurting others. Another area is discipline in speech. This is a really good one. The following Proverbs teach us that we must discipline ourselves not just to say whatever comes into our heads, but ponder in how to answer before we speak. Proverbs 10:19. "When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent." Proverbs 13:3. "Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin." I could share with you so many more, but I think we all know this from experience. Don't raise your hand, but how many times have we gotten into trouble by speaking before we think? I can raise my hand. I've done that. When my husband was the senior pastor of a church in Miami about 11 years ago, we were much younger back then. I was new to my role as a pastor's wife. All that to say, when Sunday mornings came, everyone had something to say to Jason, or if they wanted to give their opinion about something from the service. Who do you think they went to? They would not go to him, they came to me. They figured I had the ear to the pastor, which I did. Without thinking or pondering about it, I will bring all these questions and concerns to Jason right before he had to get up and preach. Do you see how that was a recipe for disaster? I needed to exercise discipline in this area. I learned when it was the right and wrong time to bring a church matter to Jason. This was not easy for me. But with the Lord was merciful, and Jason was very patient with me. We are to have discipline in receiving correction. This is a tough one too. We should develop discipline in correction. Only a truly humble person will graciously receive correction. Proverbs 10:17, "Whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life, but he who rejects reproof leads others astray." Proverbs 12:1, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid." We need discipline. We need to, you know, to discipline ourselves, to humbly receive correction. And if we don't, we're only hurting ourselves. Another area is discipline in disciplining our children. This is a hard one. We all know how difficult it is to maintain consistent, loving discipline in our children's lives. Unfortunately, as many of us know, it is much easier to give in or not give that reproof when we're tired. I do not know about you, but for me, when I'm tired, I just want to sit down and be left alone. Perhaps some of you sit down and want to watch TV, or you want to go on social media, or you let the kids play video games so they get out of your hair. Whatever that thing is for you, God's word is clear, ladies. If we love our kids, we have to discipline them. We should discipline in such a way that they can see what they have done wrong and point them to Christ. Proverbs 13:24 says, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." Proverbs 22:15, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him." Proverbs 29:15, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." So true. Another area, discipline in controlling our temper. Proverbs 14:29 says, whoever is slow to anger has a great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Proverbs 19:1, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Ladies, are you quick-tempered? Do you lose your temper easily? If so, you will need to discipline yourself to control your temper. I'll share another little side illustration here. At home, I have several nicknames that my husband has given me throughout the years. One of those nicknames is Hot Latina. The hot is not pertaining to looks, but rather a quick temper. You see, there's a stereotype in my culture that Latinas are hot-tempered. And in my case, it is true. Controlling my temper has been one of those areas where by God's grace I have learned to exercise discipline in. But I am still in process. It's not easy to share. Discipline in drinking alcohol. The Proverbs 20 verse 1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Let me give you a few quick statistics about the use of alcohol. Alcohol is the number one drug of choice for teenagers. Alcohol-related car crashes are the number one killer of teenagers in the United States. Alcohol-impaired drivers are involved in 1 out of 3 crash that are fatalities. Alcohol is the third most common cause of death in developed countries. Alcohol is the number one drug problem in America. The drinking of alcohol is not forbidden in scriptures. However, if you choose to drink alcohol, drink in moderation. Another one, discipline and too much sleep. Discipline and too much sleep, huh? I love sleeping. How many of us go back to bed after our bodies have had enough rest? Just because we don't want to get up. I've done that. Or how many of us lean over and keep hitting the snooze button? I've done that one too. Let's see what Proverbs has to say. Proverbs 20:13. Love not sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes and you will have plenty of bread. Proverbs 26:14, as a door turns on its hinges, so does a slugger in his bed. Ooh. All right, the truth is, we need to discipline ourselves in practically every area of our lives. So you might be asking yourself, how can I develop more discipline? That's a good question. How can I develop more discipline? Really good question. We've looked at a few passages on areas that we should have discipline in. Let's look at how can we develop this in and for ourselves. Well, in a big way, what's true for the body is also true for the soul. Discipline is sort of like a muscle. To make a muscle strong, you need load, you need tension, and you need time, because consistency develops strength. I will share with you today some elements to developing discipline. These things have, come from personal experiences or even from things that I have read on the subject. And by the way, I do not share these with you as I'm in some type of expert. Believe me, I'm in process. I need to work at this as well. And with the Lord's help, I can be applying this too. First, make a decision. We must make a decision of our will that we will begin to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. That is the first step. Once that decision is made, there's still plenty to be done. But until that is made, there's nothing else that can be done. Pray and ask the Lord, what areas of your life, what areas of my life should I start with? The temptation will be to decide that you're going to start disciplining yourself in 10 different areas all at the same time. Right? I would probably do that. Don't do it. I have to counsel myself. Don't do it, Gretel. It's just too much. You will fail and give up entirely. My advice is to start small and build slowly. Choose just one or two areas to start. Begin to develop godly habit patterns. Our problem is that when we become Christians, we have already developed lots of sinful habit patterns. For many of us, this is or was true. Those sinful habits must be broken and replaced with godly habits. For many of us, it took many years to develop those sinful habits, and there aren't going to be erased overnight. We will not become godly women without daily applying effort to developing godly habit patterns. It takes work, ladies. We have to do it. Apply Luke 9:23. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Jesus is not talking about denying ourselves something, like giving up Facebook for a few days. Rather, he's insisting that we must deny the self within us, the old desires, ways, practices, and habits that we have acquired before conversion. These old habit patterns become so much part of our day-to-day practice that they're second nature. Taking up the cross means we must put to death the old life patterns or the old man. But that's not enough. To put off sin, we must also put on righteousness. It is not enough to deny ourselves. We must also follow Christ. We must make a decision based on God's word and not on how we feel. This is a good one. We can't live our lives based on our emotions. This is an area I'm still growing in. I could use more discipline with my emotions. This is what I'm learning. I can't live my life based on emotions, because here's what happens. Our whole day will be filled with decisions we must be made on basis of obedience to God, but rather than giving our desires or what feels right at the moment. There's only really two ways to live. Either we live according to how we feel, or we live according to what God has said in his word. Listen up. When you fail, begin again. Notice that I said when you fail. We will all fail. But when you fail in an area, what will you do? Refuse to just give up and say, forget it. I just can't do it. I can't discipline myself in this area. Instead, bring your failures to the Lord. Confess it to him. Ask him to forgive and strengthen you to begin again. Wow. So perhaps after all this discipline talk, you're tired. No, just kidding. You're left thinking, I want this, but I fail so often at it. Why is that? Why do we fail? Why do I fail? It's a good question, right? I think we've all been there, or we're there right now. Well, obviously we're human. We're still in process. We're still being sanctified. Remember, I taught you earlier, it's a process of sanctification. We haven't arrived yet to perfect Christ-likeness. And so, because of that, we many times fall short. Let me share with you a powerful verse found in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. It's in your notes as well. It says there, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." Let me repeat that. "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." When we fail at disciplining and self-control, here's the real reason. It's because we deny the power of God. It's true. Paul prayed that we might understand the immeasurable greatness of God's power. He wanted us to realize that this power is not only vast, but is also accessible. It is at work in us. And so, what does that mean? If you believe in Jesus, the very same power that raised Christ from the dead is at work in you and in me. It means that we already have all the power we need. We have the power to make right choices. We have the power to say yes to what is right. We have the power to say no to what is wrong. We have the power to resist temptation. We have the power to exercise discipline and self-control because we have God's Spirit. We have everything we need to succeed in life and godliness. We don't need to beg God for more willpower. The power we need is already at our disposal. And amen for that. My sisters in Christ, I am not preaching at you or trying to make you feel like you lack discipline. I am simply urging you towards Jesus. Today I'm reminding us that as Christian women, we should discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. We gotta pursue it. We gotta aim for it. We gotta prioritize it. We gotta seek to possess it. We gotta pursue Jesus. We gotta seek to walk with him. We need God the Holy Spirit to fill us. As ambassadors for Christ, our life should characterize a life of discipline and self-control, especially when it comes or it pertains to the things that have been instructed to us in God's word. With that, I am done with my teaching. I will pray and then fully done. All right, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for the ladies here today. I pray that they have been encouraged by your word and that you have used me to deliver this word to them. I pray that as Christian women, we should discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness, Lord. We all need more discipline. I sure need more of that. Lord, thank you. I pray that the ladies would be able to apply the things that they have learned. Thank you for the blessing that we can open your, pages of scripture, Lord, and that, we can read what it is that you want us to do, the instructions that you have for our lives, Lord. Thank you for this beautiful day. And I pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Okay, thank you for that.